Amen. Yes. Let's take a quick look at this picture. So if you go back to the outline, we are now at point number 9, where it says the ashes of the red heifer. And that is the burden for this meeting, the red heifer. And we saw in the first meeting that red heifer, that real physical red heifer, and we saw in that first meeting that these red heifers are now in Israel and are needed by the Jews to enact the offerings. And the very presence of these red heifers is a sign of that time. And God uses Israel, and what he does in Israel, he uses as signs to show us in which time we live. And Israel for us is like a clock on which we can see when the Lord comes back. That's why these red heifers who are now in Israel are very important for us today. Because they help us to see when the Lord comes back. And when God goes on with the Jews in their physical ministry of the offerings, that announces that the Lord is coming back quickly. And for example, in 2015, the Lord introduced us to the offerings, to the true worship. And at the same time, we see in Israel that at that time, they opened up a school for priests, and they gathered the Levites and the priests from the whole world to get them ready for that ministry. And they even want to build the temple that we saw earlier this morning, this temple from Ezekiel, the third temple. And on the other hand, we have the reality of that temple today. So we see on the one end, in Israel, many outward things, while at the same time, here among us, we need to see the reality. What we see there is a type of what Christ gave us as reality. That's why today we have fellowship about the red heifer. Because for us, it's very important, not just by seeing it as an outward sign, but because the Lord wants to show us more in this red heifer. He wants to show us what the reality of it is for us today. And it's important for us to grasp that. And we all know the Orthodox Jews who prepare for the offerings, they cannot start to offer without this red heifer. And during the past 2,000 years, there was not a single red heifer that was qualified. But now there are several. We can read in Numbers 19. Numbers 19 is the law about the red heifer. And there we see what the Jews need and why they need this red heifer. Numbers 19. Numbers 19, 1 to 13. Let's read this together. Numbers 19, 1 to 13. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord has commanded, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring you a red heifer without blemish, in which there is no defect, and on which a yoke has never come. You shall give it to Eleazar the priest, that he may take it outside the camp, and it shall be slaughtered before him. And Eleazar the priest shall take some of its blood with his finger and sprinkle some of its blood 7 times directly in front of the tabernacle of meeting. Then the heifer shall be burned in his sight, its hide, its flesh, its blood, and its offal shall be burned. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast them into the midst of the fire, burning the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes, he shall bathe in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp. The priest shall be unclean until evening. And the one who burns it shall wash his clothes in water, bathe in water, and shall be unclean until evening. Then a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and store them outside the camp in a clean place. And they shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for the water of purification. It is for purifying from sin. And the one who gathers the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. It shall be a statute forever to the children of Israel and to the stranger who dwells among them. He who touches the dead body of anyone shall be unclean 7 days. He shall purify himself with the water on the third day and on the seventh day. Then he will be clean. But if he does not purify himself on the third day and on the seventh day, he will not be clean. Whoever touches the body of anyone who has died and does not purify himself defiles the tabernacle of the Lord. That person shall be cut off from Israel. He shall be unclean because the water of purification was not sprinkled on him. His uncleanness is still on him. So what is this red heifer for? This red heifer is for purification from death. And we see that also at the priests in Israel. They cannot start with their offerings, because where they want to offer, there's so much death everywhere. It's all full of death. Caused in the past 2,000 years, there was so much death. And that's the problem, and that's why they really need the ashes of the red heifer. And without that purification from death, it's not possible to serve God. That's what we need to understand when we see this red heifer. It's something very special. The ashes of the red heifer, it's for purification from death, because death is a real big problem. And many times we don't have this consciousness just what kind of problem death is. We all exercised, I assume, to realize when we have sinned or when something defiled us. We see something or we have a certain thought. And many of us have this exercise, I assume, that we realize we are defiled. And what do? When we are defiled, we take the blood. We are all exercised, and we know the blood of Jesus cleanses us. This exercise we have and we really need. Like 1 John 1 verse 9. Whenever we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what the blood of the Lord does, and it's really precious. Of course, it requires a real repentance and a confession. But whenever we take it, we are cleansed. That happens very fast. You don't need to pray 10 times, Lord, I take your blood, forgive me. No, if we really repent and if we take the blood, we are washed by the blood. It cleanses us from defilement and sin. When David back then had done this really grave sin with Bathsheba, and Nathan the prophet came to him and told him that he had sinned, then David had confessed and admitted that he had sinned. And immediately the prophet had said to him, I took your sins from you. So David confessed his sin, and immediately God said, I took away your sins from you. So that's really fast. And that's the cleansing from the defilement through the blood. And we need this consciousness, and I'm sure we have it. But many times what is lacking, where we don't have such a great awareness, is that sin doesn't just defile us, but it does much more. Sin has an effect in us. It causes death. First of all, it brings sickness. God said to Adam and Eve, when you eat from that tree, you need to die. And they ate from the tree, and they didn't drop dead right away. They continued to live for some time. But what happened is that sin caused something in them. It brought death. And that's what Paul tells us. Romans 5, for example. That through sin, death broke through to all men. So sin really breaks through. And we all inherited sin. And it's not just sin. The bigger problem that comes with sin is death. Sickness and death enters into us. And at the end, we're all dead. Romans 5 verse 12 says, death broke through to all men. And it even says that death reigns. Through sin, death reigns. And it says in Romans, the result of sin is death, or the wages of sin is death. Ephesians 2 also says that naturally we are all dead in sins and transgressions. Are we dead or are we alive? We seem to be very living or very alive. But Ephesians 2 tells us that we were dead in sins and transgressions. So through sin, death spread to us. And that's really a problem. And this awareness of death, many times we lack it. But we need it. Because we need to be saved and released from death. And so which consequences does death have? We heard that already in the past meetings. Inwardly, we lack the strength to do the will of the Lord. That's a result of death working in us. Because if you are alive and you have the life of the Lord, you can do everything for God, right? So why can't we do the Lord's will? Why is our mind many times so far away from what God speaks? Why don't we grasp in our mind the will of God? Why is our mind so much in darkness? All these are effects, results of death. We've even become strangers to the life of God. That's the problem of sin and death. And in the end, we are strangers to the life of God. God is the living one. And if that is something far away from us, that just shows we are dead. And that was our condition. And many times it is still our condition today. And our heart many times is so hard. The Lord speaks, but we don't hear. The Lord speaks so much. but yet our heart is so hard. It's not a reality. There's also a result of death, and we've become numb, and we commit a lot of sins. So when we are dead, we have no power to resist sin. Another big problem of death. First John says, if we don't love our brother, then death dwells in us. How is it? Many times we don't care. We have so many thoughts. But John says, he who does not love his brother dwells in death. Yeah. Our festal gathering. I just want to give you a few examples to give you a sense that death is not very far away from us. So when we come to the festal gathering, why do we come together? To praise the Lord. The psalm says, O Lord, open up my lips that my mouth proclaims your praise. We come together to give the Lord honor and praise, bring him the fruit of our lips. But how many times do we sit here silently? I have to look to myself as well. Many times my mouth is closed and my eyes are on the ground. Where does that come from? Just because I didn't have a good day? It comes from death. Psalm 115 says, the dead will not praise God. Nobody that goes down to silence, it says. So many times, are we living, praising the Lord? Or are we silent? Yeah. Amen. But we will praise the Lord. We want the life. We want to be living. But we see, it's not a small matter if you sit there and shut your mouth or if you praise the Lord. That is about life or death. That makes a difference between are you alive or are you dead? Or like we heard in the meeting yesterday, without the Lord's life, we can serve him and we are not willing to suffer. Something comes up that I don't like, I already shrink back. I'm not ready to go on and consecrate myself. Many times we are so complacent. We are in our comfort zone. But all these are effects of death. The Lord's life is different. The Lord came to accomplish the will of the Father in all things. And even Paul said, and that's really something that many times made me wonder. Paul says in Romans 7, he wants to do the good, but he doesn't do it. Maybe we can quickly read this. Romans 7, verse 19. What does Paul say here? Romans 7, verse 19. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. I think everyone who is here wants to do good. I'm sure we all want what is good. Because we tasted something from the Lord, so we want this. And Paul wants what is good, because the Lord appeared to him, and he saw so much. But what's the problem? The good that I will to do, I do not do. That is the problem. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Why is that so? This comes from death. Because the Lord's life hasn't become my experience yet. Of course, later he says, thanks be to God. And that's our solution. The Lord's life, Romans 8 verse 2. next chapter, Romans 8, verse 2, it says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh." Verse 6, he says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." I have to check myself. How many times do I have the mind of the flesh? How many times do I think about earthly things, vain things? That leads to death. And that shows us we still have a big problem with death. Just like the Jews here in Israel, these Orthodox priests, they know very well they cannot serve God without being purified by the ashes of the red heifer. They will not do anything before that red heifer is not slaughtered and prepared according to the law we just read. They have put so much effort into obtaining such a red heifer. And that shows us how serious this matter of death is. Many times I have to repent, because the Lord shows me how many times I serve Him without His life, without Him being the one in me. Many times I'm in death. But we need such an awareness. Lord, I don't want to serve You in dead works. That's really a problem for God. We need the life, not just the blood. What good is it if you cleanse a dead person from defilement only? We also need the ashes of the red heifer. We need the life. How do you remove death? Through life. The only way against death is life. That's why we need the reality of the ashes of the red heifer. It's so important for us today. The word says, death is the last and the greatest enemy. We have to thank the Lord today. We don't just have a red heifer that is burned to ashes, but we have the reality today. And we need to grasp it in Christ. That's what we want to have a quick look at. This red heifer, it's not so much about the cow, but about Christ to which that points. It all points to the resurrection life of Christ. It's a perfect picture, type. And some understand this red heifer as a way to be cleansed from sin. But that's not what it's for. It's to purify from death. And in verse 2 we see here, Numbers 19 verse 2. There he says, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord has commanded, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel that they bring you a red heifer without blemish, in which there is no defect." Who is without defect? Definitely. God said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." The Lord is the only one who is without blemish. Even that cow isn't without blemish. But Christ is really without blemish. And then it's tested. We know these pictures, how they check this cow with this huge magnifying glass. And the Lord was also tested. And even Pilate said, "What a man." He was tested and no mistake was found. And it says, "On which a yoke has never come." The Lord was never under any yoke on this earth. He came only to do the Father's will. And then we see in verse 3, where should this cow be burnt? Outside the camp it shall be taken, and it shall be slaughtered before him. And that's what Hebrews shows us about the Lord. Where did the Lord suffer? Outside the camp. That's where he was led to. Hebrews 13, outside the camp. And in verse 5 we see, the heifer shall be burnt in his sight, its hide, its flesh, its blood, and its offal shall be burnt. The whole cow is burnt. It wasn't taken apart, but the whole thing was just burned up. It shows that the Lord was so pure that he could be offered up just like he is. Everything in the Lord was so pure. There was no uncleanness and no death in him, no sin. The Lord was completely pure. So in such a way we see that this red heifer is a type of Christ. It's a picture for our Lord. He is the reality of that red heifer. He cleanses us not just from sin, but from death. And we see this with the ingredients that are thrown into the fire. Verse 6, the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast them into the midst of the fire, burning the heifer. Scarlet is a very bright red color and shows the power of life. The blood is not just there to clean from sin, but it stands for life. That's why certain foods we should not eat. There's a commandment that says we shall not eat the blood of any living being. And the reason for that is because the life of all flesh is its blood. And at this cow we see that red color, that scarlet. So the red color of the cow and that scarlet is an expression of life. That shows us it's not for forgiveness of sin, but with life you cleanse from death. That shows us that this red heifer is for life and stands for the purification from death. And then a cow is female. And we know that sin is cleansed through an ox, for example. So a male animal. But this red heifer is female. And we know whatever is female brings forth life. So that's a type, that the reality of the red heifer is there to bring forth life in us. And then we got cedar wood that is thrown into the fire. And cedar wood grows on the Lebanon. It's the tallest trees there. And have such a... It's a preservative against decay. It's also called juniper. So that is thrown into the fire and confirms that it's against death. And then we have hyssop. Priests use that to treat leprosy. It says on the last page of the outline, it's used for cleansing, known by the ancients for treatment of leprosy. So it's to clean from sickness and death. And David had this awareness. That's why he said, cleanse me with hyssop. We need to see this. We need these ashes of the red heifer to cleanse us from death. But the problem is not just sin. The problem is death, and we need this life. And we see on the third day, that's in verse 12, he shall purify himself with the water on the third day. So the cow was burnt, and then they made these ashes, and they used that for the purification water. And with that water, this person needs to be purified on the third and the seventh day. That shows us, when did the Lord resurrect? Did he stay in death? No, he resurrected. When? The third day. On the third day. And that shows us it's about Christ, who resurrected from death. He conquered death. He took the key of death and Hades and resurrected. Death, where is your victory? Where is your sting, it says. The Lord really overcame death. Death could not hold him back. So we see here, this talks about Christ. And on the seventh day, that water needs to be applied again. Why does it need to be applied again? Why is it not sufficient on the third day? Why does it have to be done again on the seventh day? Because death is not a small thing. And death really spread in us. We need a complete cleansing from death. We should not be loose with death, but thoroughly deal with it in us. The life of the Lord fully needs to gain room in us. It fully needs to spread in us. There should be no rest of death in us. That's why we see the number 7 here. Number 7 is a number for completeness. The Lord wants his complete life to be manifested in us. He wants his life to flow in us and cleanse us from all death. There should be no appearance of death, nothing. So that shows us we need to do this whole thing thoroughly and not be loose, but we need to take it seriously. This purification we need to take seriously and come to the Lord, experience his resurrection power and apply his life. This is very important for us, and it's a precondition for us to serve God. The Lord gave us this life. He is the reality of this red heifer. In Revelation 1 verse 18 it says, he was dead, but he is alive. And from eternity to eternity even. So death was conquered by him once and for all. The Lord is alive from eternity to eternity. And what is our biggest enemy? Death. When you're dead, everything is over. Death is the end. It's the last and biggest enemy. But what has the Lord done? He destroyed death. The Lord destroyed the last enemy, which is death. And he destroyed death and brought forth life and incorruption, 2 Timothy says. This is what we really need to grasp. This purification by the life of the Lord. This wonderful life. And that's the precondition that we can serve the Lord. Without the life of the Lord, I am not allowed to serve him. I need to repent a lot, because oftentimes I serve the Lord out of my own natural being. And at the end, this brings forth death. We heard this several times during this conference. The only thing, the only ability that we have to serve the Lord is through the life of the Lord. Only when his life is effective in me, then I am able to do anything for God. It's only through the power of his resurrection. And Paul emphasized this again and again. He had this attitude. Everything he can do is nothing. He said, I have done more than all the others, but not me, but the grace of God together with me. So in him, the resurrection life of the Lord was effective. And that's why he was useful for the Lord. And this is what brought forth life in the others. If I'm dead and I serve, death will bring forth death. Death is can spread very easily. It's very infectious. So we need to have a fear to serve the Lord in any way. And we should also not shrink back and not serve, but we should take the Lord as our resurrection life. Whenever we realize there's death in us, there's lack of power in us, we apply the Lord as this life so that we can serve the Father. And then there are these warnings here at the end that we need to take heed that we are not defiled with death. That's really very important. Death dwells in many things and in many people. Many times we are not aware. We think we can do anything, go anywhere. But we lack this awareness that we might touch death. It even says here, when you read this, if you walk and there's a corpse, a dead body, you're not even aware of it, but if you touch it, you are defiled. That's why there's a warning that we shouldn't do whatever we like, especially religion. It's dangerous because it's dead. The Lord said to the Pharisees, Matthew 23, that they are graves. They taught in the synagogues out of the holy scriptures, they read from it, but they were graves, the Lord said. But not graves where everyone knows, oh, that's a dead body, I will avoid this. The problem with religion is they are covered graves. So you don't see it. Outwardly you think it's wonderful. It has an appearance of godliness, Paul says, but inwardly it's full of death. And you go there and you return dead. And then you think, what happened? That's why Matthew 23 says, woe to you, Pharisees and scribes, you hypocrites. That's the problem of hypocrisy. Inwardly, you were dead, but you covered death. You put on a different face. You don't have the reality of life, but you act as if you were alive. That's the problem of religion. And he says, you are these graves that are covered. Outwardly, you have a nice appearance, but inwardly, you are full of dead bones and all uncleanness. Just imagine that. That is religion. When the life of the Lord is not there, and we are not in resurrection, we are not in the stream of life, but we are in dead religion. That's where death reigns. We think we can just go there and talk to all these people and discuss with them and have no realization that there's death. So when you see there's death, you should steer clear. Nobody of us would touch a dead person. If something is dead in school here and it stings so much and people come right away and remove it, so normally, physically, you avoid death, but inwardly we don't have this realization many times. So we need to discern. Also the smell of death and of life. We really need this to stay away from religion and not be defiled. In the epistles we also say, the Lord says to Sardis, you are dead. A dead church. So we shouldn't think that all churches are alive. all those who follow the Lord are alive. There's a lot of death. And the problem is, we don't realize it right away. Because it's covered, it says here, whitewashed tombs. So in Numbers 19, verse 13, it says, whoever touches the body of anyone who has died and does not purify himself, defiles the tabernacle of the Lord. That person shall be cut off from Israel. He shall be unclean because the water of purification was not sprinkled on him. His uncleanness is still on him. That's a strong warning. We should not be loose with death. And we can't bring anything into the Lord's house. On YouTube, there's so much death. But we go everywhere and look at all those videos and let all of this enter into us. And at the end, we don't realize we are completely dead. We are weak. And then we even come here and even infect the others. And here he says, everybody who touches a dead body. That means we should not even get in touch with any spiritual death. That's why the Lord recently strengthened and sharpened my awareness to keep my eyes and my ears away from certain things. I don't want to lift up a law here, because it's the Lord's life who will show us. But I want to give you this awareness. I talked to an elder once, and I actually thought this elder was so much with the Lord. There wasn't much missing that he's perfected, but when I talked to him, out of his mouth came forth nice words. But behind these words was bitterness and judgment against an accusation against brothers. And I went back home and I realized how I was defiled with death. I cried to the Lord, Lord, cleanse me. The next day, I still felt this defilement. And again, I had to cry out to the Lord, Lord, cleanse me. So it took some time because I was really defiled from death. And that shows us we need to fear death. We shall not touch death. Amen. And how can we discern? By knowing the life. Somebody who knows the Lord's life has a sense of what is death. That such a person will smell death right away. You might not be able to tell right away if it's right or wrong, but you just smell it's not the Lord's life. It's not the Spirit that speaks, but something else. And then it's good to stay away from that, to take heed, because we belong to the Lord. And especially as priests, we cannot touch any death. If you want to serve the Lord as a priest, it's impossible for us to touch death. We heard these examples of Nadab and Abihu. They served in their own strength and consecration. The Lord devoured them. God is living. He is the life. He has no death. He cannot accept any death. That's why today, if we want to be a holy priesthood, we need to learn this lesson. To cleanse ourselves from death and serve in the Lord's life. And if we learn this, then this life can increase in us. And the Lord's glory, the power of his resurrection, can grow in us. So the burden is that the Lord gives us a sensitivity for death, and we need to be purified from it, and that we grasp the Lord's life.